Now, over 300 incidents of violence have been recorded in University Hospital Kerry over the last 3 years. That's according to an investigation carried out by the Journal. A further 80 incidents were recorded against the hospital service users, including patients. Nationally, almost 20,000 incidents of aggression were recorded in Irish hospitals between 2023 and 2025. And with me in the line to talk about this is Noel Baker of the Journal.ie. Noel, good morning to you and thanks for joining us this morning.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Very good. Now, tell me about this level, I suppose. What do these figures tell us about what's happening in our hospitals?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the INMO would have typically come up with their own figures over the years. But I think a lot of those were probably based on HSE-operated hospitals primarily and maybe didn't take in all the voluntary hospitals as well, some of which are clearly among the biggest in the country. So what we did is we simply sent off requests to every single hospital and tried to put the numbers together as best we could. So I think there was a previous figure knocked about of maybe 15 recorded incidents a day. But actually, we find that it's more an average of 18 when you take the three-year period from 2023 to 2025 inclusive. And then there are some variations, obviously, within that. But you can see across the HSE-run hospitals, for example, it definitely increased last year. There was more than 2,000 episodes. And if you look at some of the very large voluntary hospitals that are operating in the country, such as the Mater, for example, it too would have reported an increase last year, and it would have the highest number of recorded incidents of aggression, violence or challenging behaviour of any of the hospitals last year.
Okay, and that is everything from physical assaults, verbal abuse, or is there any way of quantifying that?
Yeah, now this is the kind of the million-dollar question. I think it's probably fair to say, given that you have so many hospitals operating here, that the HSE hospitals, I'm sure, have a kind of a standard recording mechanism, whereas the other hospitals, the threshold, I suppose, is what is recorded. It sounds that simple, you know. Some person, somebody working in a hospital might be the victim of kind of, you know, verbal assault, for want of a better term,
but there might be
some verbal aggression or something like that. On one day, at the end of their shift, they may record it. On another day, they may not. I'm sure if it enters into the threshold of anything to do with physical jostling, any kind of, you know, aggressive behavior of a physical nature, it should obviously be recorded. But what the HSE would say, and I think what a lot of the larger voluntary hospitals would say as well, is yes, the numbers have gone up, but what we've also done is we've improved our recording mechanisms. We've made it easier for people to actually log this at the end of their shift, or there's a QR system or something that allows them to do it in a kind of a more swift manner. But then the INMO and the IMO, which represents the doctors, they would say chances are this is still an underreporting.
Yeah. In terms of figures, finally, Noel, you found that 3 million, more than 3 million has been paid in damages for the three-year period.
Yeah, for the three-year business state claims agency, this would relate to a lot of cases. Now, some of those payouts may have been in the last 3 years and they may relate to cases that happened in the previous year. But you kind of have to take the same three-year block, we felt, and that was money that was paid out there as well. So, I mean, like, at the end of the day, we know that hospitals are always pressurized environments. And we know that particularly in the last winter just gone, there was, I would say, almost unprecedented numbers of people going to EDs for a variety of reasons. And the INMO and the IMO would argue that while the HSE and the hospitals are making every effort to try and make things as safe as they can, when you are constrained by space in places like emergency departments, for example, when patients are facing long waits for treatment, when there is an element of overcrowding at times in certain parts of the hospital, it does create tension. And while it's not an excuse for things that may also happen, it is a factor alongside, let's say, mental health issues and drug-related presentations and so on as to why these issues occur.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, Noel, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks for talking to us about that in the programme this morning. That's Noel Baker of the Journal.ie, carried out that study that shows that almost 20,000 incidents of aggression were recorded in Irish hospitals between 2023 and 2025. Shortly before coming in air, I spoke to Kerry Woman and INMO General Secretary Phil Nihay about this to get her response as to what needs to happen from the HSE and, I suppose, the government to try and reduce these numbers.
Well, I suppose we've been tracking this and we've got some of this information from Freedom of Information, but it doesn't tell the whole picture. We do, unfortunately, believe that the number is actually higher because many of these assaults aren't reported. So I suppose the big focus from our perspective representing workers in the front line is to have preventative measures and to make sure that the Health and Safety Authority are more visible in their role, which is to protect the worker, and to look at the health service and the environment that people are working in and ask the question, why is this happening? And our members tell us that clearly when their staffing levels are not correct, that the incidences increase because obviously people wait longer, they get frustrated, and incorrect and but inevitable then happens. They take their frustration out on the person they meet. And it's very difficult. It's not improving. And despite the creation of a specific division of the Health and Safety Authority to deal with the health service, we think it's too slow, that the Health and Safety Authority should be really saying to the health service executive now, you have to do more to keep your workers safe.
223 incidents impacting staff in University Hospital Kerry over the last 3 years, as well as another 80 incidents where service users were affected. That tells its own story. You put it solely down to that pressure of waiting times and overcrowding, or are there other elements at play here?
I think that's the major factor. There are other incidents. Obviously, not all of these incidents happen in EDs. I know many people, when they hear stories like this, they think, oh, that's just in the emergency department and, you know, people who are under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah, a busy Friday or a Saturday night, someone under the influence of alcohol or drugs, and that can spark things off.
And certainly that's some of it, but it's not all of it. And unfortunately, we're seeing more and more incidents now, for example, in maternity units, in paediatric units, where parents or partners are the person, the perpetrator, if you like. So it's not just EDs, but undoubtedly the wait times, the frustration, the delays in services, again and again, nurses and midwives are saying to us, that is really putting a different slant on the public's perception. And when they're waiting for maybe 10, 11 hours, they get frustrated, and that's understandable. Mm. But it's not acceptable that they take their frustration out on the person that they meet, who's the face of the health service. And as we keep saying, nurses and midwives make up a third of the total health service workforce. So you're going to meet a nurse and a midwife more often than anybody else. And unfortunately, these statistics tell us that they take the brunt of it. Now, they've no control over it. So the solution is that they have to have correct staffing levels. That would make a major difference. And, you know, we've done a lot of work with the health service executives, getting signage and, you know, trying to make sure the public understands that it's not acceptable. And as a nurse said to us last week, the signage is there, but there's no point in having the sign if there's no follow-up from the employer.
So what do you think needs to happen from that point of view? In terms of enforcement here, I understand the point you're making about, you know, staffing levels, improving the experience and reducing wait times, that would help. But for people who do overstep the line and blame and attack members of the health service, what's enforcement like? Or does that need to be stronger?
It's poor. There's a pilot project in the Mercy Hospital in Cork, which we're very interested in. They've taken a specific line. They've, I suppose, invested in trying to get support for staff members who take the next step and go to the guards and make a complaint to the Gardaí. But all hospitals should be doing that. Like, there should be zero tolerance. The legislation is there, and the penalties are higher for those who assault frontline workers. But again, that's no good if it's not supported and implemented. So what we would be calling on is employers, the HSE and the voluntary hospitals, to follow the example of the Mercy in Cork and to invest in this to make sure that these prosecutions are actually followed through. We'd also call on the Health and Safety Authority to look at what the employer is doing and what the employer is not doing and what they should be doing to strengthen safety in workplaces. Like, when you think about the example of a building site, just think about it. The good work the Health and Safety Authority have done there. You now will have safety passes, you'll have very specific regulatory guidelines to make sure that a worker is not injured. Well, that should be exactly the same mentality that's brought to bear on the health service.
Mm. Okay, and with that in mind, and you mentioned, I know, the increase in sentencing that has been there now for the last kind of year or so, really, the maximum sentence for assault of a health service worker or a guard has gone up from, I think, 7 to 12 years. Do these figures show, or is it too early to tell, whether that's having an impact or not?
Our understanding is, and from the information we've received, there haven't been any prosecutions. So, again, I think sometimes...
So that's part of the problem. We don't even know because the prosecutions haven't been followed through on yet.
Yes, and
enough
also,
of them haven't happened.
Some staff are not encouraged to, or supported in taking that step, and that's a difficult step sometimes. So, particularly if you're fearful that, you know, that there may be some lack of support from your employers. So, again, this is a real, I suppose, example of where the employer has to step up to the mark and say, right, this is not going to be tolerated. And when we say and when we have signage that says this will not be tolerated, here's what that means.
Yeah, yeah. And, Phil, are we seeing a lot of, obviously, you know, workers having to stop work, go on leave, get medical attention, and that's having its own impact, I'd imagine, on staffing.
Yes, and, you know, I have represented a number of nurses who have had career-ending injuries because of assault, and it's absolutely devastating for them. You know, they're very proud. They're very proud of being a nurse all their lives, all their working lives, worked hard, and this is how their career ends. And it's very unfortunate. It's not inevitable, and it shouldn't happen. And you know, the flashbacks, the
post-traumatic
trauma,
stress, really, yeah.
All of it is very real, and it's very serious. Mm. And I think the systems and the policies we have negotiated with the employers to make sure that from a financial point of view, when somebody is assaulted, that they have protection from at least that their salary is protected. And again, there are schemes in place that we've negotiated over years. But, you know, we'd much prefer not to have to prosecute those claims, i.e. that the assault didn't occur in the first place, because yeah, correct protections were in place.
A final question, Phil. Do hospitals need to improve security?
Always there's an issue with security, and sometimes it makes a difference. You know, when patients see or when relatives see the uniformed person, it can be a deterrent. Sometimes, not always. But again, with all of the financial restrictions, we think that the presence of security in all areas should be 24/7, and definitely should be standard that security personnel are in place in all of these units where we have a history of assaults.
Yeah, because it's like the emergency department on a bit, you could say, busy Friday or Saturday, but you're saying it's happening in maternity departments, which is surprising, but it does happen there too.
We've had a couple of nasty incidences now on maternity wards, and again, clearly it's the person attending with the mother, and not good. And again, it's about making sure that if that happens once, you don't get access a second time.
Yeah, okay.
And these are the decisions that hospitals have to be very quick to make. And I suppose the criticism we would have had in one or two of those cases is that they were too slow in making that decision.
Okay, all right, quicker reactions needed. Okay, Phil, we'll leave it there for this morning. Thanks very much for taking time to talk to me.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Phil Nihay of General Secretary of Dynamo talking about that details and assaults in maternity units. The last bit, you think you would be having a staff being assaulted, but that is what's happening. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme this morning. You're listening to Kerry Today.